declare bankruptcy!
Hello, my name is Sam Jones, and I'm your podcast host. I'm a coach here at Utah Valley University in the Money Management Resource Center, where we help students with their finances. And all kidding aside, outside of actually helping students not to declare bankruptcy, we help students to streamline their money management, particularly in areas of budgeting, student loans, debt management, and building credit. We'll equip you with the knowledge, skills, and behaviors needed to maintain complete financial control. Okay, I'm here today with Anne Lobos. She is a CPA and has her own tax firm. It's called North Star Consulting and Tax. Glad to have you here, Anne.
Thanks, Sam, for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what you do, expound a little bit, and what you're currently working on.
So I'm a CPA, which for those of you that don't know that, I didn't know that when I was in college, funny enough. It stands for Certified Public Accountant. So what that means is I really help people with all aspects of accounting, and my focus is on taxes. I've been doing taxes since I was in college. I worked at H&R Block back then and started doing taxes there. So I've been doing taxes for a long time, for about 18 years. So got a lot of tax experience. But I focused lately just more on the tax savings because, you know, obviously we all have to do our taxes, but the tax saving part is the stuff that's fun for me, figuring out how people can save money on taxes. So.
Awesome. And today we're going to talk a lot about how taxes affect students and how you can maximize your tax savings as a student. So let's kind of jump into that a little bit. Anne, what are some things that students can do or should consider when it comes to paying for school and keeping taxes in mind?
That's a great question, Sam. I wish someone would have asked me that when I started college. I did a lot of stuff that looking back, I'm like, man, I really could have done a lot better. So my recommendations for people that are in school or just starting school is don't get student loans if you don't have to. Like, you know, I mentioned I've been doing this for a while. I was in school about 20 years ago, and I'm still paying on student loans. So if you don't have to have student loans, that is the best way to go. And another recommendation I wish people would have said is go find an employer that will help you pay for your school. Hmm. That employer-assisted tuition, like, is amazing. And the other recommendation, which maybe some people might not like, is I wish I would have started at the community college because it's a whole lot cheaper. I went to the U, and back then it was not... I mean, it was expensive back then, and even now, it's like I was looking at tuition costs with you the other day, and I'm like, holy crap. So I wish I would have started at a community college. You get the same credit, and it transfers over, and it would have been a lot cheaper.
No, I love that. That's great advice. I think that's a lot of what we teach here in the Money Management Resource Center is, you know, if there's a way to figure out how to pay for school without taking out student loans, because you do have to pay those back one day, and it's going to affect the rest of your finances for the next
20 years, even longer. I'm going to be paying on those things for 40 years.
Yeah, it's a headache. Well, that's great advice. I like the employer part too. I think there's a lot of employers out there that will. So maybe when you're looking at employment, look at employers and try and find a good one that might pay for your school.
Yeah, because if they you don't have to pay tax on that. Like, they can pay for up to $5,200 a year, and you don't have to pay tax on that. So that's free money.
Wow, that's big. So let's talk about what happens if a student gets a scholarship, and what are the tax consequences to that?
Yeah, that's a great question. If you're lucky enough to get a scholarship, typically your scholarship is not taxable, but there are a couple scenarios where it is. If you are amazingly lucky and got a full ride scholarship where they pay for your room and board, that portion of it would be taxable. So any portion that you pay for your tuition and books, that's not taxable. But if you get room and board, that's taxable. And if you get a scholarship that's kind of tied to you teaching, maybe you're teaching or doing some research and you're getting paid for services, that part of the scholarship would be taxable.
Okay, good to know. And what happens if, say, a student gets like two scholarships and it's more than tuition? Say they like a couple hundred dollars more than tuition. What happens to that portion of the money?
Yeah, technically you're supposed to pick that up. You're supposed to report that as income.
As income, so it'd be taxable. Gotcha. So let's talk a little bit about the credits. There's some different credits when it comes to taxes and paying for school. What are those, Anne, and how do they apply?
Yeah, there's a couple of really good credits. The government wants people to go to school, so they give you some pretty good benefits to try to encourage you to do that. So the one that's the very best credit is called the American Opportunity Credit. And the way that one works is to take full advantage of that credit, you have to only just have $4,000 worth of eligible expenses, which these days is pretty simple, right? In a lot of cases, that might only be one semester, unfortunately. So as long as you have $4,000, you're going to be able to take full advantage of that credit. And so the way it works is you get 100% credit for the first $2,000 and then 25% for the next $2,000. So the max credit is $2,500. Now, the cool thing about this one is that even if you didn't have taxes that were equal to $2,500, they will actually refund up to $1,000 of that to you, which means that you could actually get money back even if you didn't have any taxes, you know, that were equal to that. So there's this one you can claim for 4 years. So you get to take advantage of that one for 4 years. And you have to, any expenses you have, so the eligible expenses for that are tuition, any enrollment fees you have to pay, any books. Now, this one's kind of interesting because it can be any books, even if you didn't buy them from the school. We'll talk about a credit in just a minute that they've kind of tweaked that, and the qualification on that's a little bit different. But any books you had to buy, it does not include room and board. So when you're looking at the $4,000, you can't factor in your room and board costs in that.
Can I interrupt you, Anne? Mm-hmm. I want to ask just for some students who know nothing about taxes, like what is a credit?
So a credit is different than a deduction. So a credit is that you get a dollar for dollar offset against your tax liability. So let's say that you have a job that you work while you're going to school. So as long as you made over $12,000, there's the potential that you might have some tax due. So you've got your part-time job there, right? Mm-hmm. And then you do your taxes and that figures out what's your tax. And then that's where the tax credit comes in, is like if you had more than $2,500 of tax, you would get to offset that with this $2,500 credit. And then you would have hopefully no tax due.
Gotcha. So I think the big takeaway is that credits are huge when it comes to taxes, and taking advantage of these credits will help you to not pay nearly as much in taxes. Is that a good synopsis for students?
So credits are really great. Deductions are pretty good. Credits really great. So.
Gotcha. So if you get a credit, you pay less in taxes.
Yes.
So we're talking about the American Opportunity Tax Credit and kind of some benefits. And I would say it's probably one of the better tax credits that you can get as a student. And I kind of interrupted you. You can continue, Anne. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. And so the interesting thing about this credit is that, so you can look at your parents' tax situation. So if your parents are helping you pay for college, you can look at their tax situation and you can look at yours. You can kind of pick and choose who's going to get the best benefit from it. So say, for example, there's some income limitations on this. So if your parents make a lot of money, if they make over $180,000, they're not going to get any benefit from this credit. So then what you can do is you can look at your situation and see if you're going to be able to take advantage of, even if you didn't work, remember how I said that 40% of that can be refundable. So $1,000 of it can be refundable. So there's a chance that even if you didn't make any other income, you could get $1,000 back still. And so you can pick and choose. So as long as your parents don't claim you on their tax return, even if they could, because they're still paying for more than half of your support, yeah, as long as they don't claim you, you can take this credit and then you can get the benefit from it.
Oh, that's awesome. And I want to ask a follow-up question. When, like, how should students, I guess you kind of talked about it right there, but do you have any other advice on when students should claim themselves and file their own taxes or be claimed as a dependent on their parents' taxes?
Yeah, it usually is. And I always do this with my clients when they have kids that are in college. I always look and see what's the benefit that the parent's getting on their return and what's the benefit that the student would get. And it used to be that you didn't get to pick and choose. Like it could only go on the parent's return.
Gotcha.
But now they've changed it so you can pick and choose. So you just want to like You just want to make sure your parents, whoever is helping them with their taxes, are kind of looking at that and seeing, you know, what's going to be the best benefit.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Cool. So anything else on the American Opportunity Tax Credit that we should?
Well, the other thing that's kind of cool about it is that, like, you can prepay expenses for the next semester. So let's say you started college, you graduated from high school in the spring, you started college in the fall. And let's say that maybe you were lucky enough to get a scholarship, right? Or maybe you were going to school that you didn't have over $4,000 worth of expenses for that semester. So you can actually prepay your tuition for the next year to get, you know, that to make sure you're maxing out that full $4,000 of available expenses.
Awesome. That's cool.
So it's a good tax planning tip because you only get this credit for 4 years, which means it's not like it could span more than four tax years. So you only get it for four tax years. So based on when you start college, there's a chance that you might be in college for five tax years. So if you plan ahead, then you can make sure you're really getting the, you know, the full max from this credit.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Cool. And I would encourage you to, like, if you want to learn more about these credits and just go and start learning, reading something online, because we're not going to cover everything and all this possible situations out there. And you can even come in and talk to a coach and we can kind of help guide you through and give you some resources. But American Opportunity Tax Credit is huge. What other credits can students get?
So there's another one called the Lifetime Learning Credit. Now this one is not as great as American Opportunity Credit, but this one is like really good if you're in graduate school because you've already met the four-year limit on the American Opportunity Credit. And so the way this one works, the way the Lifetime Learning Credit works is that you can get a credit of up to $2,000 per return. Now that could be significant if you're married, because that means that you don't get $2,000 and your spouse gets $2,000. You only get $2,000 combined. Mm-hmm. But to take full advantage of this credit, you have to have over $10,000 worth of eligible expenses because you get 20% of that. So that's how the credit's figured.
Gotcha. And do you have to have $10,000 worth of eligible expenses, aka like tuition and things? Do you have to have that much, or you just to be able to max it out, you need that much?
Yeah, just to be able to max it out. And the same on the American Opportunity Credit. Like you don't have to have the $4,000. It's just that if you have that, you're going to get advantage of the
credit. You get the most money back or tax savings.
Yeah, the cool thing about the lifetime learning is like you can take it forever. Like they don't limit that to 4 years. It can just be forever. Like I've taken that because I've gone back to college a couple times over the years and I've taken the lifetime learning credit on my tax return. So that's pretty cool. This one's the one where it's the qualified expenses are a little bit different than the American Opportunity Credit, where you can take your tuition, you can take your enrollment fees, but where it differs is in the course materials. So they only let you include the course materials if you have to buy them from the school. And what I'm thinking about on that is I know that in college, I took a couple classes where the instructor had specially designed some sort of a packet or a book that only got sold at the college's bookstore. And so I had to buy it there. So that would be included in the lifetime learning. But if it's just a book that you could go buy on Amazon or, you know, have.com or something, that is not included in that. Don't ask me why they did that. They just like to complicate things, I guess. But
So it has to be bought from the university.
Has to be bought from the university. Like it has to be required to be bought from the university.
Required to be bought. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. But does it have to be bought from the university, or could it be required to be bought from the university, but you could go buy it from Amazon?
I guess you could, but I think in most cases, like, you wouldn't be able to get it anywhere else. Like, I think it's something that you would only be able to get at the university.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense.
And that one, again, you can prepay. Like, if you're trying to max that out, you can prepay next year's tuition, first semester's tuition. So that one's pretty cool. And that one you can pick and choose, too. So you can look at your parents' return, you can look at yours and kind of see who's going to get the better benefit, because this one has a lower income limitation. The American Opportunity Credit, if your parents made over $180,000, they wouldn't get that. This one, if they make over $136,000. There's a higher probability that your parents wouldn't qualify for this one.
So. Gotcha. Cool. Anything else we should know about the Lifetime Learning Credit?
No, I think that's it.
Awesome. Is there any other credits students should be aware of or think of when it comes to taxes?
Those are the two main ones. There's a deduction one, but I won't get into that one. That one's not as good as the credits. So these are the two best ones.
So just for sure, take advantage of the credits while you're in school.
Yep.
Cool. Very cool. So I know earlier we talked a little bit about employers paying for school. Is there anything else students should know about that?
So they actually just came out with this cool thing related to, you know, all this COVID-19, the CARES Act. They actually made it so your employer can actually pay your loan for you, and they are going to get the employer will get a deduction for it, and you don't have to pick it up as income. Where this is kind of cool, and I don't know if there's a lot of employers that are taking advantage of this, but like say that your employer normally would pay you $2,000 a month or whatever.
Yeah.
So like you really could take, you know, maybe your student loan payments are $400. You could take $400 of that and they could pay your student loan. And then you're only having income of $1,600. And they got the deduction. And the employer didn't have to pay the payroll taxes on it. So they're actually getting the deduction and they're actually kind of saving money at the same time. So.
Wow. That's super cool.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think that goes through the end of the year. But wow. They might extend it because it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's I didn't know about that. Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah,
so. So if someone wanted to make sure that their employer was taking advantage of that, how would they approach that? Would they just talk to their employer and say, hey?
Yeah, I would Google it and kind of find the information and they could take it to their employer. The employer does have to do a little bit of work. They have to set up like a qualified plan, but they may already have it. Like if they're already offering tuition reimbursement, I think it probably could be kind of in conjunction with that plan that they've already got. They just need to add a little different language in it. So
very cool. That's awesome. Is there any other, like what else should students consider when it comes to taxes and school? Like any other tips for students?
Yeah. So there is a deduction. If you do have a student loan, there's a student loan interest deduction, and that one's kind of cool. And you can take that one forever. That one does have an income limitation, but like if you're paying on student loans for 40 years, you can take it for 40 years as long as your income's not over the threshold. And then there's a cool one that it's called the Savers Credit. And this is the government's way of trying to incentivize people to contribute to retirement plans. And so this was kind of cool because you can get a credit of up to 50% for costs of $2,000. So you could, in essence, get a credit of $1,000. This one is not, so there's some qualifications on this that make it so that you can't take advantage of it when you're a student, but it's a good thing to think about like right when you're done with college and you're no longer a full-time student. Because you can take this credit, you have to be over 18, you can't be a full-time student, and you can't be dependent on someone's return. And this one has income limitations. So like if you're single, if your income's under $19,250, then you get the full 50% credit. And then it goes all the way up. If your income ends up over $32,000, then you don't get anything, but it kind of scales out there. So you can get anywhere from 50%, 20%, or 10% credit on that. And wow. The cool thing about it is that at your age, like when you're with your income tax bracket being so low, like you would want to contribute to a Roth IRA, which like the government doesn't care where you're putting it. You can put it into the Roth IRA and you can still get that $1,000 credit. And so if you qualify with 50%, so in essence, what's happening is the government is paying 50% of that $2,000 amount that you're contributing to your Roth IRA, which is huge.
So just so I understand, right? So it sounds like you just need to put up into $2,000 to get 50% and it's based off your income. And then basically what happens is you put in this retirement account because the government's incentivizing you to save for retirement. If you don't have a lot of money, well, anytime really, they incentivize you to save for retirement. But they're incentivizing you and then they'll pay you back and you'll get a tax credit.
Yes.
Back in money. So it's, wow, that's really awesome.
That's
I don't know cool. if I explained that super well, but
yeah, that's a pretty cool credit. So yes, you get a tax credit. Again, the credits are better than the deduction. So you
save money credit. And then the government gives you more money.
Yeah. Wow. The thing about a Roth IRA that's cool is that, you know, you're not getting a deduction for the money going in. even though you're going to get it, if you qualify for the savers credit, you'll get a tax credit, but you won't get a deduction for the money that you're putting in.
Yep.
But when you take it out, you don't have to pay tax on it. So all the earnings that you make on it over the years, like that's going to all be tax free. So,
wow. Huge, huge tax planning. That's great advice. Open up as soon as you get out of school, look at and maybe get some advice and learn a little bit more, but look at opening up a Roth IRA and taking advantage of
this. Well, and in reality, I tell people that like you should open up a Roth the minute you get your first job. Because the thing about you guys right now is that you know that the job you're in right now, you're not going to be in that forever, right?
Yep.
And so you can contribute to that plan, but chances are like you're not going to be there long enough to really get all that money because they have the vesting requirements, right?
Yeah.
So if you had a Roth IRA, that is going to follow you around. Because what happens a lot with younger kids is like you'll be working at a place and you'll say, yeah, I want to put money in the retirement, the company retirement account.
Yeah.
And then you quit that job. Well, a lot of retirement accounts have a rule where if it's under a certain amount, like your money, they'll just send you a check back, which, yes, you can take that money and go put it somewhere else, but most kids don't. And so then you just, all that money that you've been saving in your retirement account, you just like, it's just gone, right? So if you have a Roth that just follows you around, like, then they're not going to send you a check when you quit your job. It's just going to stay in there and you're not tempted to go spend it on something.
Yeah, that's huge. Wow. Little things you can do when you're younger that add up a ton when you're older and looking at retiring and having money to be able to retire. So that's
well, and
that's awesome.
The cool thing about a Roth is like a lot of the other retirement planning vehicles, like if you take the money out early, you have to pay a penalty on it.
Yeah.
A Roth, you don't. As long as you don't take out the earnings part, as long as you're just taking out the money that you put in,
yep.
Like you don't have to pay a penalty on that. So it actually can serve kind of as an emergency fund. We use that a lot of times as an emergency fund for people.
That's really cool. Maybe we'll have to go more into Roth on another episode and how you can use it in some of the other accounts you might want to look at and learn more about. But definitely a great introduction and start learning. And I would just encourage you to learn about this stuff because it's huge and it has a big impact on the amount of taxes you'll pay one day.
Yeah.
Or even now. So, cool. So statistics show that, historically, like more men go into the financial services industry than women. What made you decide to go into the financial services industry, Anne?
Oh gosh, that's a funny question. I started out college wanting to be a mechanical engineer.
Oh, wow.
And then I wanted to be a psychologist and then I wanted to be a teacher. So I changed my major a lot. And I just got married and I was like, I have been in school for way longer than 4 years, unfortunately. And I'm like, I gotta be done with this. So I don't know, what should I do? And I was talking to my friend and she's like, I'm gonna be a CPA. And I'm like, what the heck is a CPA? Like, I had no idea what it was. She's like, oh, they do accounting and taxes. And I'm like, I'm pretty good at numbers. I like playing around with my Quicken program. So maybe that's something I should do. And so that's how I ended up in the CPA industry.
So you like numbers and you kind of just hop into it.
Yeah, and I was good at it. I got into it and I was like, oh, I'm pretty good at this,
Oh,
and so
cool.
I got through school and went like the CPA industry is like, I don't know why more women don't go into it. It is an amazing industry for women because it's so flexible.
Oh.
Like you can work from home, you can work part time. So, if you're a woman that wants to at some point stay home with your kids, but still want to stay in the workforce or need to stay in the workforce for financial reasons, like it is an amazing industry to be in. So I really don't understand why there's not more women that go down that road. And I don't know if maybe they're scared of the math, but the reality of it is we have so much software that like, I don't really do math very often. So don't let that scare you away if that's something you're thinking about. And our industry has changed so much. It used to be the traditional accountant was, sitting behind a desk with the stacks of papers, playing around with their 10 key calculator, right? And they didn't ever have to talk to anybody. Well, now with all the software out there, like that does all the number crunching, like we have to talk to people and like you actually have to have a personality if you're an accountant. So don't let that stop you, like that you think you're going to get stuck behind a desk and have to just do calculations all day, because that is not what it's like at all.
That's cool. Good advice. I think the work that CPAs do is really cool and super valuable. So
And there's so much you can do. Like if I could go back and do it again, I would have gotten a dual degree in the, you know, accounting and the financial planning, because that's my focus in my company, is kind of trying to integrate those two together, because there's so much synergy between them.
That's cool. That's cool. What advice do you have for women in school that are if they're thinking about going back to school, or they're in school, or they're just starting, about kind of career decisions?
Yeah, I'd go for it. Like school's so flexible now. Like there's a lot of classes you can take online. Like if you don't think that you can fit it in during the day, I mean, there's so much flexibility there. And it's just so amazing to be able to get your degree. And I mean, you'll be able to tell your kids. I have a friend that's going back to college. She didn't go to college, and now at her age, she's going back, and she's got kids that are about to start college. And she's like, I need to finish, because I need to show them that I'm gonna finish college too. So
oh, cool.
Just do it. You'll thank yourself for it.
That's cool. Any other advice for women in college, or just any general college students? Anything we missed?
No, I think we talked about a lot. I mean, I just don't get student loans. I'm just going to reiterate, don't get student loans if you don't have to. Go get a part-time job. And even if your parents will probably hate me saying this, but even if you don't go to school full-time, like if you can pay for it without getting student loans, like you are going to thank yourself 20 years later, trust me.
Yeah. I always tell students, you know, you have to pay back this money. Like it's not free money. You're not just living it up, partying while you're in college.
Well, and you can't even, like, in bankruptcy, you can't get rid of it. Like, so it's not even one of those things where you can make it away from playing bankruptcy. So.
It's you're stuck to it. You got to pay it off. Well, Anne, it's a pleasure having you today. If people want to learn more, where can they learn more at?
Yeah, they can go to my website. It's taxnorthstar.com. I actually have a page on there that has student resources. So all this stuff we talked about today, you can go on there and you can look at it and that's great. So I would love to hear from you. Even if you just had a question, you can call me. My number is 801-913-2012, and I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Cool. Well, it was great having you, Anne, and we'll hope to have another episode out soon.